If you got it, how are you going to continue to have it in the future? That's the question everybody wants to know. Joining us on the line right now is Rick Edelman, one of the top finance experts in the world, host of the Rick Edelman Show, heard on WML Saturdays at 10 a.m., and author of a new book, The Truth About Your Future. We thought it a good day to have Rick come by because, you know, this is a day when you're thinking about money. Maybe you're doing your last-minute taxes because today is the deadline, and maybe you got a refund. Good morning to you, Rick. How are you?
Terrific. Good to be with you both.
Let's start with that. Let's say maybe you got fortunate, maybe everything lined up, and you got a little money back from Uncle after you filed your taxes. What should you do with it to get the most bang for your buck going forward?
Well, you should invest it, of course. There's nothing else a self-respecting financial advisor would tell you. The biggest issue is that you shouldn't be getting a refund in the first place. Mm-hmm. That's the mistake people are making. Because when you're getting a refund, basically it means you overpaid your taxes last year. It means you gave the government an interest-free loan for 12 months last year. And all they're doing is giving back to you the money you gave them in error. So if you're getting a refund, it means you blew it. It means you need to fix it so that the same thing doesn't happen to you again this year.
But you don't want to get into the other mess where you underestimate and you end up owing a lot that you may not have on hand.
You're absolutely right, and that's why you want to do it like Goldilocks. You want to get it just right. You don't want to be on too far either way. So it's easy to figure out because most folks don't have a very different scenario year to year. You're probably at the same job making the same kind of money with the similar expenses in your household. So your taxes probably don't fluctuate much year to year, and that means you can estimate with a pretty good degree of accuracy what the situation is. And how you fix it is simple. All you do is adjust your withholding at work. In other words, you're probably having too much money withheld from your paycheck. If you just increase your exemptions, that reduces the withholding, and all of a sudden you're giving yourself a pay increase. Instead of waiting until today to file your taxes to get money back in a few weeks, you'll have a pay increase throughout the entire year.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, it's just a mind game. I want everyone to know that, all right, so I got this book. I have to tell you, Rick, I got this book. I'm like, what the heck am I going to do with this? I don't understand any of this stuff. But I found your book to be easy to understand. So I don't want people to say a financial book. What am I going to do with this? But that's who it's for. It's for people like me who don't understand this stuff. And it's also good for people with short attention spans like me. So I have to compliment you on that because I did find the chapters to be easy and direct and to the point and on a level which I could understand. You were talking about the tax refunds. Well, yesterday we were talking about what people plan to do with their tax refunds. And millennials, according to bizrate.com, in a survey they did, millennials are the age group most likely to say that they would save or invest their refund. Are we starting to see a movement back towards savings?
I hope so, Mary. I really hope so. And thank you so much for your kind comments about the book. I really wrote it for folks that don't like to read personal finance and, like you said, find it boring or intimidating. The book is, I try to make it really fun to read, even as you saw, the footnotes are funny.
Yes.
And so I'm really glad you liked it. And that is really a big thing, is that because a lot of folks, you know, we don't learn about money in school. Our parents don't teach us anything about money, and neither do our employers. And so we're left on our own, and that means people don't really think about their future. They don't think about the implications. And there has been a very low savings rate in America as a result of all this. But you're right. We are beginning to notice that millennials are doing a better job at saving than their parents did. And I think it's because youth has the advantage of looking at their elders and seeing the mistakes their elders have made. You see, we didn't, as a baby boomer, I didn't have that privilege because my parents did better than their parents. And historically, throughout the many generations, that was always the case. The next generation always did better than the prior generation. But for the first time, we're seeing that's not the case. And the reason is that boomers who are facing retirement are seeing that they're not getting pensions. They're seeing that they have not saved very much money, but they're living longer than anyone expected, and money is therefore a struggle for them. And they're entering retirement unprepared. Their children, the millennials and the Gen X and Gen Y, they see this, and they are determined not to let that happen to themselves.
I look at your book, and it's a lot about emerging technologies and a lot of things that you think are going to be the places to perhaps invest some of your money going forward. Talk about how you identified some of the things that you think are going to be the big items of the future that we're all going to, you know, invest in heavily and therefore will succeed if you make an investment in that area.
Yeah, it's, you know, I began my research, Brian, about 8 years ago. As a financial advisor, you know, we manage $18 billion for over 30,000 families around the U.S. We're by far the largest independent advisor here in the D.C. area, and where we're founded and headquartered. My wife Jean and I have been here for pretty much forever. And so our focus is always the same. How can we best serve our clients? How can we give them the advice that they need for the future as opposed to the past? And I began my research into exponential technologies about 8 years ago and discovered that computers are advancing with an incredible speed. We all know about Moore's Law. You know, the
right.
power of computers is doubling about every 18 to 24 months. And that doubling is what exponentiality is all about. And it means that computers, we now have in our smartphone more computing power than was on the space shuttle.
Absolutely.
And so it's going to continue. It's going to get better and better and better. Watson, remember when Watson won in Jeopardy? That was in 2011. At the time, Watson filled a room. Today, Watson is the size of three pizza boxes.
That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
That is just amazing.
And it's not stopping there. By 2030, they're projecting that Watson will be the size of a grain of rice.
Wow. So you've identified these technologies, and you've decided some of the other things besides computers. You look at robots and robotic futures and drones and
absolutely
all kinds of
right.
fascinating yeah. stuff.
So we're looking at, as you said, robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, biotechnology, bioinformatics, big data. All of these different technologies that are making radical advances that we've never seen in human history. And my question was a real simple one. What does it mean for our personal finances? And what I've discovered through my years of research is that we have to change our investment strategy, because many of the companies that have been very successful and been around forever are going to disappear in the 21st century.
Mm.
The best example I can give you is Kodak. Best brand name in the world, 135-year-old company, mm-hmm. went bankrupt in 2012
yeah.
because due to the smartphone, we stopped buying film. We now take digital photographs for free in our phones, and Kodak went bankrupt. But the year they went broke, Instagram, 18 months old, 13 employees, was sold for $1 billion.
Right.
Using digital photography. So we have to recognize that the big giants of the past, built in the 20th century, are not going to survive in the 21st century.
Well, our guest is Rick Edelman, one of the top finance experts in the world. He's got a new book out called The Truth About Your Future. More with Rick in just a moment.
A dollar bill is a friend of mine. We need money.
I am Mary Walter alongside Brian Wilson, and we are being joined right now by Rick Edelman. He's one of the top finance experts in the world, and he has a new book out called The Truth About Your Future. You can also catch his show here on WMAL Saturdays at 10 a.m. Rick, one of the things you just mentioned, and it's also mentioned in the book, is our future is going to be radically different from our parents. In what way is our future going to be different?
We're going to live so much longer. Chances are we're going to live to 110 or 120.
Oh, no. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, why? Oh, yes, you do.
No, really.
No,
I got to work longer then.
No, Mary, I'll tell you why you don't think you want to, because you're picturing Whistler's mother.
Yes.
You're envisioning, you know, old age being decrepit, sitting in a wheelchair, drooling while staring out a window. That's not what your future is going to be. Not only are you going to live longer, you're going to live healthier because of medical innovations. We're projecting, because of the advances in science, that all of the major diseases we're currently dealing with are going to go away. Heart disease, respiratory illness, diabetes, even cancer. Within the next 20 years, they're all gone. Gone. And they're also discovering that aging itself is a disease. It's not a natural part of life. And they're already recognizing they can cure aging. They've already reversed aging in mice in Japan. So it won't be very much longer before they are able to do that for humans, which means by the time you're 95, you'll be healthier than you are at 55.
But so doesn't that mean, though, that I also need more money if I'm going to live longer?
Exactly, which is why the notion of retirement is gone. The notion of retiring at 65 and living to 115 without working during those 50, 60 years, there's no way we could afford to do that. So retirement as we know it, which was a 20th century innovation, it didn't exist in the 19th century. It's not going to exist in the 21st either. We're going to change from a linear lifeline to a cyclical one. Here's what I mean. A linear lifeline is what we're all used to. You're born, you go to school, get a job, you retire, you die. You do one thing at a time in that order. That's gone. It's going to be replaced by a new cyclical lifeline. You're going to go to school, you're going to get a job, but you're going to go back to school, get a new job. And then you're going to go on sabbatical, not for a few weeks, but for a few years, and then go back to school and come emerged in a new career. And you're going to do this cyclically for your whole life. You're not going to wait till your 70s for that round-the-world cruise. You're going to do it in your 30s or 40s. You're going to change your career, change your life on an ongoing basis, and it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so much more rewarding, so much more interesting, and so much more profitable. You're going to love it.
You talked a moment ago about Kodak as an example of things that technologies that have gone away. And in your book, you identify other areas where you think, there would not be a great place to invest your money because things are going to change with new technology in such a dramatic way.
Exactly right, Brian. We have a lot of industries being threatened right now. The automotive industry, I mean, look at Tesla, came out of nowhere and is now worth more than General Motors. Airbnb is the largest hotel organization in the world, but it doesn't actually own any hotel buildings. It's much bigger than Hyatt and Hilton and Sheraton. We have the energy sector under significant threat because we're going to move away from fossil fuels towards solar. In 20 years, we're going to be powering everything by the sun. We're not going to be needing fossil fuels. So what does that mean for Exxon and Shell? So there are a lot of industries at risk. Self-driving cars are going to decimate the automotive industry. Truck drivers and cab drivers are going to go away. But by extension, so will tow booth operators and parking valet attendants. So are chiropractors. Think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have car accidents, because self-driving cars are much safer, then you don't have as many back injuries. And that's the dominant source of revenue for chiropractors, people suffering back injuries from car accidents. So chiropractors are going to be threatened.
And you mentioned robotics.
Robotics are going to take over a large percentage of the jobs that currently exist because most of the work that most of the people do is repetitive. And if you're engaged in anything that is repetitive, a robot or a computer can do it faster, better, cheaper, and more accurate than you. So everything from grave digging to plucking food from the fields and farming to pushing paper in the financial services industry, all of those are repetitive jobs. Computers and robots will take over those occupations. In my book, I list 171 jobs that are going to go away. But I also list 175 that are going to survive and thrive. So you've got to evaluate, is your job at risk? And if so, begin to think about retraining to enter a new field so you can remain competitive in the workplace.
And I saw that list, and it seems to me, though, that there are some people that just don't have the capability mentally to be able to find something in another field because their job is something that is a more low-skilled job, and you could send them to school as much as you want. They're just not going to be able to make a transition into a higher-skilled job.
Well, I'm not sure I totally agree. I don't think that people who are coal miners are dumb. I think they're coal miners because they have a lack of economic opportunity and they've had a lack of education as well, because education is expensive under today's system. We all know the cost of college. But that's radically changing. Education is quickly becoming free. New York State just made college free for 80% of its residents. Rhode Island and Tennessee are doing the same thing. If you work at Starbucks, if you work at Jeep or Chrysler or Fiat, they will give you a free college education. In fact, at Jeep and Chrysler, not only for you, they'll give you a free education for your spouse and your children as well. They'll even pay for your master's degree for free. At George's Institute of Technology, they'll give you a master's degree for $7,000. So we can now, through the internet, make education available at a dramatically lower cost, broadening its availability for a lot of folks. I don't think coal miners are dumb people. I think they've lacked educational opportunities and they've lacked economic opportunities. But when you provide both to them, I think they're perfectly capable of doing the kinds of work that generate higher incomes than the ones they currently have.
Well, I'm not saying that the coal miners are dumb, but I think we all know people who can't get out of a box if you gave them a set of directions. But But the other thing, too, is there are plenty of people working right now at Starbucks who have college educations, and there aren't jobs to be had.
And that's a key element of the internet these days, because you're absolutely right. The notion of sitting back waiting for someone to give you a job is fast going away. It's called the sharing economy, the gig economy. We're moving from the New York model of employment to the Hollywood model, meaning in the New York model, we're used to working for one employer, like you're describing. I go work at Starbucks, and they give me one paycheck, and I do one thing with the same people every day repetitively. That's going away, being replaced by the Hollywood model, where you have a group of people coming together for a specific project, different talents and different skills. They perform the project, and then they scatter. They go off to the next project. That's what we're going to have to do for our own safety.
Our time is running out, but I remember that movie, The Graduate, and the advice, one word, was plastics. So what is your one word?
Technology.
Yep. All right, we have to leave it right there. Rick Edelman, of course, one of the top finance guys in the world, and you can hear him every Saturday right here on WML. The book is called The Truth About Your Future. Rick, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate
you
joining.
Thank you, Rick.
Good to be with you both.